the overturning of Roe versus Wade sent shockwaves, not just through America, but around the world. But what, if anything, does that momentous decision have to do with meetings? Well, joining me on Deep Dive today is Lauren Edelstein, Vice President, Content Director at North Star Meetings Group, who carried out a survey into how state-by-state abortion laws could affect meeting planner decision-making when it comes to site selection. Hello, Lauren.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you for having me. It's certainly an important topic for so many people.
It is. And I suppose we better start with a quick recap on Roe versus Wade, what it is, was, and why its overturning by the Supreme Court led to this outpouring of emotion on both sides of the debate.
So just quickie background for those who might not be familiar is that in 1973, so we're talking almost 50 years ago, the Supreme Court made a decision that held women in the United States had a fundamental right to choose whether to have abortions without any excessive government restriction. And they struck down an abortion ban in Texas at that point as unconstitutional. And it's been a source of debate ever since. As justices have come onto the court and people have come into power, the where you stand on abortion rights has been very divisive. And so now we have a conservative-leaning court, and it was anticipated that this would come up again, and they did overturn it, which means that the federal government can't provide that protection of that fundamental right, and that states can enact their own laws. And there were 12 or so states in the U.S. that had what we call trigger laws in place, which meant that they had restrictive abortion laws, anti-abortion legislation at the ready, so that if Roe versus Wade was overturned by the court, their legislation would almost immediately take effect. And, you know, longer, bigger picture is that half of the states in the U.S. would like to have anti-abortion legislation and not allow abortions in their state. It's a very, very important topic to a lot of people. But then again, you know, there are people who say, you know, that has nothing to do with meetings, morphing it right into the meetings conversation.
Yeah. So what did North Star's survey set out to discover? What was the point of the survey?
There was a memo that was leaked that the Supreme Court was considering making this decision. And at that point, we started talking to meeting professionals to say, would this have any bearing on your decisions? And, you know, right away came across some very vocal people with very strong opinions saying, absolutely, you know, I'm going to move my meeting out of Louisiana where there is restrictive laws in play just in case it takes effect. Like not even before Roe was overturned, you know, one group moved to California. I mean, there are states that have traditionally liberal views and lean more toward, you know, abortion is a woman's choice and have no intention of, you know, implementing any further restrictions. So the organizations, be they corporate or associations or anything in between, where either the leadership has that strong feeling or the membership is more tends to lean in that direction, they started thinking about what we're going to do with our events. You know, there's medical associations of obstetrics doctors, for example, all of whom, you know, in the states that were choosing to go in that direction would not be allowed to practice their services, you know, things of that nature. So we conducted our survey from May 13th to May 17th, and this was before the Supreme Court's decision. And when we did that, we surveyed 281 meeting professionals who are decision makers in terms of site selection, and 43% of them said that state-by-state abortion laws would impact their organization's site selection decision.
That's quite a big deal, isn't it? 43% is a lot, I think.
It is. Of those 43%, more than 80% said that they would favor states that allow abortion. And of those, 54% said they will not meet, simply will not meet in states that have anti-abortion laws. So this indicates that the business is going to skew toward the states that remain, you know, allowing abortion, legal abortion, based on a woman's decision, and that don't implement further restrictions to that right.
So specifically, what did we learn about associations in this survey?
So among associations, only about 35%, which is still significant, more than a third, said that it would affect their decisions. And, you know, overall, among all planners, it was 43% of all planners said it would affect their decisions. And, you know, that represents a lot of dollars and, you know, a lot of meetings business that will move potentially. So it's significant, and it is, it does mirror the findings of broader research outside of the meeting planner population. So, like, for example, 61% of Americans believe that abortion should remain legal in all or most cases. And that was just confirmed by new Pew Research Center survey.
So I'm guessing for associations, a lot of them, if they're booking every 4 years or their cycle of congresses is quadrennial or triennial, they may already have booked into a anti-abortion state and now realize that they have a sort of issue with their members. Have you been able to glean anything from that? Are they able to break their contracts? Do any of them have clauses in their contracts which allow that?
So if they break their contract, they're, you know, subject to the terms of their contract. But we have seen an increasing number of organizations putting in what one industry attorney refers to as political correctness clauses, which specifically say, you know, if your state implements legislation that runs counter to this, that, or the other thing that our organization believes in, that we can move our event without penalty. But it can't be too vague. So for example, you know, anything that might be offensive to any of our members or anything that might be discriminatory, you know, we've seen language that says discriminatory, but that's really too general because who's to decide what's discriminatory? So, you know, the industry attorney that consults with us, Jonathan Howe, you know, he says, for example, does abortion discriminate against an unborn fetus? You know, I mean, you can twist those words in any which way, and it leaves a lot to be, you know, determined, and it's very subjective. So he says, if you're going to have a clause like that, that is effective, then you would need to specifically mention, if you were concerned about anti-abortion legislation, you would have to specifically mention if your state enacts, you know, legislation that restricts abortion, blah, 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 we have the right to move, you know? And a lot of organizations in his, you know, experience, because he's now dealing with all kinds of court cases, have vague clauses. And that leaves them open, you know, to a liability to go forward with the meeting or to pay a penalty.
It's interesting because a lot of us international associations will have in their bylaws that they're effectively non-political. I'm thinking from a sort of European perspective, this might be quite interesting, this idea that you can pull out of a destination, or you would actually choose your destination based on things like abortion or whatever.
And the choices going forward, I mean, there are, I spoke to meeting planners for associations that they're locked into where they are now, and they're not going to mess with it, but they're going to have to explain to their constituents who have an issue with it or don't want to go to a state for whatever reason, even if it's that they don't want to go to a state where abortion remains legal when they don't have to remain legal. You know, that's going to offend people as well. But they're in the position to explain to their decision makers in some cases, as well as their participants, why they're meeting in that state. Like, why, you know, well, 4 years ago, you know, we need a space that hosts 20,000 people. there are only 15 venues in the U.S. that can host our group, and we are locked into this. And if we pull out now and change our location, we're going to owe X many millions of dollars, you know? So that's what they're up against right now. And several people told us that. And, you know, and even the large association clients, like I talked to Greg Talley, who runs Talley Management Group, and that's association management and has a lot of organizations in the medical field. And, you know, they're having discussions, you know, they're having just, you know, serious discussions about whether to move, what would be, you know, the penalty, whether this should influence their decisions in the future. And in many cases, it's also dependent on where their participants stand on these issues, if anywhere, you know. I mean, maybe they say it has nothing to do with where I'm having my meeting. Why are we even talking about this? And we do have that. We do have people saying that. I have a number of people saying that, like, you know, like, this makes no sense. And in fact, Destinations International, which is the organization that represents CVBs and DMOs, the destination marketing organizations, tourism boards, has spoken out against boycotting destinations for any political reason, and they refer to it as the weaponization of travel. So, for example, in 2019, several states were in favor of so-called bathroom bills, which some perceived as limiting the rights of gay and transgender individuals. And that became a big issue in Texas and a few other locations. And Destinations International did some research about the danger of using traveler meetings as a political threat and how, you know, when I say danger, I mean it immediately hurts the hospitality industry, obviously.
And of course, you can look at this the other way around. There may well be associations whose main purpose is to spread knowledge, to advocate for certain policies, to raise awareness of issues, so in your case, the Society of Obstetricians or Gynecologists, they may look at anti-abortion states as precisely where they should be, where they need to be, to try and affect change.
Right, and that's actually the position of DI is, and I spoke to Jack Johnson, who's, you know, one of their top executives who deals with policy issues. And his point is, go to that destination, you know, have a protest, you know, make you talk to the decision makers in the city, talk to them about why this is, you know, counter to, you know, the objectives of your group or why you think they'll lose business, you know, make an impression, you know, go there and speak your mind. But that's not, you know, that's not the way most people are reacting to this topic.
Is there any precedent in the States for boycotting states? So death penalty, gun control, you mentioned safe space with the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah, the bathroom bills, that was in 2019, and there were boycotts over that.
I guess where I'm coming from with this, what I'm thinking is, if you call yourself an international association and you have to rotate your meeting around the world every 2-4 years, it becomes almost impossible to do that if you set your standards too high, shall we say. And, you know, I mean, we can think about where our own industry, the major associations in our own industry, have convened over the last 10 years. You could make a moral case that they shouldn't have met there because X, Y, Z, human rights records, attitude to women, attitude to gay people, all of those things you could make a case for. So if you're viewing this through the lens of quote-unquote progressive liberal politics, then your options on the international stage are actually pretty limited when you think about it.
Right. I mean, once you go there, and in fact, Jack Johnson from Destinations International, he's like, first of all, in the US, 26 states, you know, are going to be anti-abortion. And then when you drill down into all the other controversial legislation, there's going to be nowhere to meet anymore if you're going to, you know, take a stand politically on X many issues and then factor that in, like you're going to just eliminate your places to meet. So, you know, so here's a couple of like examples. So, so we talked to one meeting planner who was very vocal in social media, and that's kind of what kicked off us making some calls. His name is Jack Molisani, and he basically owns the show called LavaCon. It's called LavaCon because it first met in Hawaii, but it has nothing to do with lava. It's the annual conference on content strategy and digital publishing. So a little bit close to our hearts. And New Orleans was in a three-city rotation for LavaCon. And when the memo leaked about the Supreme Court considering overturning Roe v. Wade, he sent a letter to the CVB, New Orleans and Company, the marketing organization, and said, kill that bill or you're going to lose billions of dollars in future conferences business, including mine, will never set foot in the state again. And, you know, New Orleans is a very liberal-minded city, democratic, really, but in a conservative state. But still, it's the state, you know? So he didn't have a signed contract yet for the next time it would come into the rotation is 2025. But now he's like, okay, we're not going back. We're going to San Diego. Because even though another complicating factor is a lot of these trigger laws that states try to implement are being challenged in state courts. So a number of them have a temporary stay on those on the legislation, and we don't know where, you know, that's going to go. But then you have I'm just going through who, you know, different organizations that are up against this kind of decision. So we talked to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists that I had mentioned, and they were relocating their annual scientific meeting from New Orleans, you know, to another state based on what they were concerned would be implemented. So they did that before the Supreme Court ruling, and I don't know where they were at in terms of contracting. But just moving on to the other side of the coin, I talked to the president of an organization called the Financial Brand, and obviously in financial services. And he has the Financial Brand Forum, which has 25 to 3,000 attendees from the banking industry. And he's like, why, you know, why would politics come into play? Like, I keep politics out entirely. Money drives our decisions, you know, not the political issue du jour is exactly what he said. And, you know, I mean, and his point is, unless you're running a political event or you have an audience that is decidedly skewed 85% toward one side or the other, what could be the upside of pulling that into your decision-making process? And you're only going to lose attendees. You know, if you say, hey, that's not what we're here for. We're here to have our meeting. We're going to talk about banking. You know, this has nothing to do with our event. But then if you go ahead and say, I'm going to move my event because New York is too liberal now that they can implement an anti-abortion law and they decide not to. And then you're going to have people going, what, you know, and you only stand, you know, this is one argument. You only stand to lose business. So I talked to another planner who said, you know, when did our industry become interested in the politics of the location they're having the event and that it's short-sighted? And
it's really interesting because you assume that at some point a line is drawn in the sand. I mean, there are some countries, I won't name them, but where you would never see an international association meet because of their human rights records, for example. So there is always a line in the sand. But I guess it's a balancing act, isn't it? Every association is going to have to look at their own values, their own mission statement, their own purpose, their own membership base, and come to a decision pretty much based on that. And it's going to have to be a rolling decision. So the landscape for these things is constantly changing. But it is really interesting. How do you see this playing out? Do you think this is the survey captured a kind of, I use the word not in any pejorative sense, but did it sort of capture the immediate knee-jerk reaction to what happened, do you think? Or do you sense that organizations are going to stick to their guns on this?
I do think there's a knee-jerk reaction, and it's possible that in discussions or in drilling down into what impact it would have on the business if they did make a decision based on this kind of legislation, like would it hurt them ultimately? Would they lose attendees or would it help them? Will they lose attendees if they don't make the decision? But longer term, we asked if their meeting and event contracts allow for cancellation if new legislation is enacted in the event's jurisdiction that could either impact participation in the event or runs counter to the mission and beliefs of the organization. So that's if they already have this in place. So 12% said they already have that in place, and 72% said they were considering it. They don't have it now, but they're currently considering it for future contracts. And remember, this is in May before the decision was overturned. So even in May, anticipating that this would happen, they started looking into whether that's something they should do. And only 16% said no. So it really indicates that they are going to be making this a deciding factor or a factor, a consideration, you know, if they're going to put in that kind of legislation. So, you know, and I mentioned earlier that those kind of clauses would need to be specific. So I'll give you an example. So LavaCon started looking into this kind of thing in 2019 regarding the bathroom bills in Texas, and their organization was set to meet in Austin. And and Jack Molisani added a clause to his contract that said, considering past activities in North Carolina, Indiana, et cetera, the group reserves the right to cancel this contract without liability should the city or the state of Texas pass any laws or attempt to pass any laws that are discriminatory against any group of attendees, race, creed, ethnicity, sexual orientation, country of origin, any other such personal attribute. So, and he told me that he kept using that going forward, and no hotel balked at it. You know, he hadn't had any pushback, which really surprised our attorney, Jonathan Howe, who said, wow, you know, like if you say you can cancel based on any law that discriminates against any class of people anywhere at any time, how do we determine what that means? Some would say permitting abortion discriminates against the unborn fetus. Some would say anti-abortion laws discriminate against women, but all that is up to interpretation and is ambiguous. And basically that you would need to specify very specifically what it would be that would allow you to cancel.
Yeah. It's the kind of statement that's kind of crying out for a test case, isn't it? Like a precedent to sort of...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he didn't have an issue, and he actually was able to move an event out of Texas without a penalty. But now that it's kind of come into the public eye, and now that it's really happening, people are taking a closer look at that, and you would be more likely to have a raised eyebrow at the very least in negotiations. But as you said, it's very tricky for associations to navigate this. And, you know, actually the American Society of Association Executives, that's ASAE, they drafted a decision tree that they share with association boards that are looking into decisions based on legislation that runs against their their values. And, you know, somebody from ASAE said, we know there's no silver bullet for making these type of difficult, you know, decisions. And especially major conferences often booked so many years in advance. But, you know, it's interesting because it actually, their clause, their sample clause begins, it shall be considered an incident of force majeure, and thus will be ASAE out of any obligation. But it's not force majeure, because force majeure is, you know, an unforeseen incident that could not be controlled by a human, you know.
Acts of God.
And it really legally would be a different definition. So, you know, there's another question that comes up now with the challenges to the new legislation. So, for example, you know, if Louisiana was about to enact their anti-abortion legislation, but it was challenged in court and it's under a temporary stay, and you have a clause that even addresses abortion rights, what do you do when it's hanging in the balance? You know, can you
in limbo.
Can you make, and that's happening in a bit, like 9 states right now. So, you know, and actually, Jonathan Howe said that the issue is really about who can decide what is allowed and when. So maybe you would want to say in your contract, you know, 90 days before the meeting, you know, my organization can make a decision based on pending legislation, or, you know, that we're allowed to make the call 90 days out, because you can't, you know, I mean, a large association meeting can't cancel with a week's notice. So there's, you know, it is definitely more complicated for the association meetings. There's a lot there.
Well, I'm sure those of our listeners who aren't based in America will be absolutely fascinated by this. It's a really interesting topic of conversation. Thank you for giving us the view from America, Lauren.
Sure.
What is it they say? When America sneezes, the world catches a cold. And it'll be fascinating to see if this issue ripples out across the Pacific or the Atlantic. But for now, thank you very much for your time. We shall obviously keep an eye on this story as it develops going forward. All the best, Lauren. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, James. Thanks for having me.